Okay, we get into Yehoshua, Perek Zion. We are up to the story of Ai and the story of Achan. We've already discussed the walls have fallen down around Jericho, and the Yehoshua ben Nun last Perek had made an announcement. No taking from the spoils, no taking from the Cherem. And yet we have the story in this Perek that someone actually does take from the Cherem. Achan, the son of Carmi, Zavdi, Zerach, Sheva Yehuda, he takes from the spoils, and that is really setting the tone for the entire Perek. In the first Pasuk, it says what happened, and then it's as if we are in suspense, because the characters in the story don't know about it. We are told what happened even before it happened. Yeshua sends Anashim. Some say it's the same two people. The same Meraglan that was sent earlier, Pinchas and Kalev were sent from Jericho to Ai. Ai was going to be the second place of battle to where Am Yisrael were going to conquer. Remember, they are still in the thinking about what happened in Jericho. They're on a high, and Yeshua sends, and they say, no, you only have to send about 2,000 people, 3,000 people. You don't need much. Ai is a small city. So they go and only send a few number of troops, and they are defeated. They are defeated soundly by Ai. 36 people are killed, as the Pasuk says, and they run away, and the people's hearts become like water. They melt. The feelings of Jericho did not last. They were on such a high, and right away they get to a low. Yeshua tears his clothing. He falls down. He davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is going on here? He uses extreme language. It's better that we didn't go into Eretz Canaan. We could have stayed. Now everybody's going to hear about this. They're all going to attack us. It's going to be terrible. And there will be a tremendous Chil Hashem, as we will see. Hashem says to Yehoshua, what are you doing? You have a way to fix the problem. Someone took from the spoils. Figure it out. Make a goral, make a lottery, go in front of the Urim Tumim, as we'll see, and figure out who took from the spoils. We read the story, how it settled on Sheva Yehuda, and then on the family, and then on the finally, Achan. Achan is the one that is singled out. Yeshua says, Achan, admit, please admit what you did. This is the source for vidui before someone is put to death in the Mishnah Maseches Sanhedrin. Admit it, and Achan realizes that there's no way out. Everybody realizes it's him. He says, I did it. I had a taiva, I had a chemda for money, for monetary expensive objects, and I took, go check, it's buried in the outer side of my tent. They went, they found it, and Achan is then put to death at the end of the perek, and in that way they uproot the chait that was the problem for all of Klal Yisrael, and then they will again, in the following parak, try to defeat Ai. So that is the story of Ai, which is the contrast to the previous parak of Jericho. So we start off the parak. Vayimalu b'nei Yisrael al ma'ala b'cherim. It's a fascinating pasuk. The pasuk starts off by saying, b'nei Yisrael violated the cherim. The Jewish people took from the cherim. Very next phrase, Achan took from the cherim. Achan, ben Karmi, ben Zadi, ben Zarach. So who took from the Cherem? It was only one person. One person out of millions. But one person. What does the Pasuk say? The Jews took from the Cherem. Achan took from the Cherem, and Hashem got mad at everybody. At Bnei Yisrael. Why? What's the message of this Pasuk? Many Mefarshim explain. As we've mentioned in earlier Prakim, at this point in time when Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, the halachic principle of Arvus started. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. Remember we spoke about that? Yeshua gave them a pep talk in the Yardane. When the Yardane was dried up, he says you have to make sure to accept mutual responsibility. Right now, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. So right here we have it. Right here we have Achan sinned. Only one person sinned, and all of Klal Yisrael are held accountable. Who died? Achan wasn't killed going to Ai. 36 other people were killed. But they're all held accountable because of the sin of one person. The Mishnah Rabbi Aaron of Aaron Cutler writes in his Sefer on Navi, he says, he quotes this idea, and then he says a little bit further, and that is, if Am Yisrael really had the proper, perfect value system, so then that would have affected everybody in the nation, and nobody would have sinned. The fact that somebody doesn't have avera next to me means that it's even a pagam in me. Meaning, if I would be perfect, then I would be mashpia on everybody around me, and nobody around me would sin either. If I would be on the perfect level that I should be at. It's just that I'm not, and therefore, everybody else doesn't get the proper perspective from looking at my life. De'ilu hayu b'nei ador b'matzav yoser na'ala, says Rabbi Aaron Cutler. If the door was on a higher level, hayav ze, hayav inyan hami'ila b'cheirem mo'os, eslam b'taklis. if people weren't into money and they weren't into any chemdas hamamon, as Achan says, that was his problem. If the whole nation was on a higher level, then Achan would never have done it. And that's why Am Yisrael were at fault somewhat. There's even a story in the Gemara that Eliyahu HaNavi once comes to the, one of the Amoraim and says, I can't believe you. He says, like what? He says, 3 miles away, there was somebody who killed somebody. He's like, what does that have to do with me? He says, because if you would be more perfect, says Eliyahu HaNavi, then the whole atmosphere around where you are would be more perfect and that murder would never have occurred. So Am Yisrael was somewhat at fault because they weren't on the highest level, and that's why it's a tfiya on all of them, says Rav Ari Cutler. And he even says, we'll mention this now, but we will refer to it again later, even though the Pasuk says that 36 people were killed, there is an opinion in the Gemara that really only one person was killed. But he was keneged more than half of the Sanhedrin. We know the Sanhedrin is 70 or 71. So he was keneged 36 people. Who was that? Ya'ir ben Menashe. Rashi quotes the Medrash and the Radak quotes it. Ya'ir ben Menashe hiku sheshakol kishlosha v'shisha ish v'huruba shal Sanhedrin. So that's an opinion in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that it was really only one person. Why Ya'ir ben Menashe? Why that? So explains Rav Aaron Cutler. He says, I'm a little nervous to say this idea, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think it's true, says Rav Aaron Cutler, that possibly the leader of Menashe was held more accountable than others because Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe, those were the Shvatim that wanted to stay on the west side of the Yarden. Avar Yarden. Why? Because they were interested in their cattle. They were interested in having nice places to live. And Moshe says, Chas v'shalom, you have to go and help Am Yisrael. You have to keep going. But that was their little bit of a chait. So the leader of that was punished in this regard, says Rav Aaron Cutler, because again, all of Klai Yisrael, if we would have been on a higher level, then none of this would have happened. That is his idea in terms of explaining partially why all of Klai Yisrael were affected. Rav Dessler says the same idea. Again, many Achronim say this. Rav Dessler in Chelik Aleph of Michta Melio, he says, Im lo hayinu yodim echaya hamaisa, bivada hayinu choshvim, if we wouldn't know the story, we would just see the results, we would have thought, Sheim lo kol Yisrael, at least most of the Jews sinned, or a large percentage, a certain percentage. But Lamaisa, the parak starts off by saying one person. One person. So how is that possible? It's not detectable except by God. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that if all of us were on a higher level, it would never have happened. The same idea by the Egel. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Your nation has faulted. Your nation has become corrupted. And the question is, what do you mean? His nation. What happened in the end? How many people were killed? 3,000 people only by the Egel. So how is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu faults all of Am Yisrael? He faults all of Am Yisrael because they were all held. If they would have been on a higher level, everybody together in their Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it would never have happened. Okay. There's also a crucial Malbim on the first Pasuk. The Malbim notes that there are two ways. There are two ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could punish Am Yisrael. Two ways. Either he could punish Am Yisrael through direct punishment, or what's called Hester Panim. He could remove his hashgacha, and memela, anything happens if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shmira is not upon us. So what happened here? What happened here? Explains the Malbim. Vayimalu modia ki kol Yisrael kshurim kuguf echad. First, he starts by saying the same message that many say. All of Am Yisrael are connected. Acha kol ish ve'ish mehem yichuso ala klal ki yichus eiver echad min hagvia el hagvia. It's like a different limb of our body. And if one limb of our body has a problem, then the entire body is a problem. So if Achan, which is one of our limbs, has a problem, then all of Klal Yisrael are at fault. And then he says exactly what we started off with. Sheish hevdel bein ha'onesh haba befa'al, ubein ha'onesh haba al yedei siluk hashgacha. Sheish yanish Hashem befa'al. And how do you know the difference? If a Kadosh Baruch Hu is actively punishing, he'll only punish those who are deserving of punishment directly. But if it's Hester Panim, then there could be more. There can be more. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, but there can be more. Lochin Ona Hashem Suvav B'Mikre. Adi Sheisalik Hashem Hashgachaso. Ze Yochol Al Aklal Kulo Shebiyos Beinem Chotim Yaster Hashem Panav Mehem Kulam. And that's what's so terrible about that type of punishment. And that's what it says here. Hashem got angry at Klal Yisrael. Says the Malbim. Why were the 36 random people? Because it wasn't a punishment specifically of tit for tat. It was a punishment of what we call Hester Panim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turning his presence away, so to speak, and letting the Jews be subject to the elements. So we have Achan here. Just one general point about Achan. It's an amazing thought. As we mentioned in the last perek, early sources say Yehoshua ben Nun wrote Aleinu. Aleinu l'shamech adon hakol, as the walls of Yericho came down. Other early sources say that Achan wrote the second paragraph of Aleinu. Al kei nekave. That's the Rashi Tevis. Al kei nekave. And you read that whole description in Aleinu. It's all about a dream of everybody recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly. That was Achan's vidui at the end, when he realized that you can't hide anything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everybody has to follow Hashem to the best of their abilities. He wrote Al Kei Nekaveh. After Yehoshua had just written Aleinu, he writes Al Kei Nekaveh. And another beautiful abbreviation that Achan might stand for, Olam Kiminhago Noheg. The world just goes, there's no Mashgiach. It's the opposite of the walls of Yericho coming down. This is what Achan originally thought. Oh, look, I'm going to go no hey, I can take it. I don't have to worry about it. But he ended up writing Al Kei Nekaveh. That was his vidui. That was his tshuva. Okay, so that was the introductory pasuk to the parak. So we know then Yeshua sends people from Anashim, from Yericho, and next to I, and he says, Alu v'raglu asaretz, as we know that they did last time, and they come to Yeshua and say, no problem, all we need is a couple thousand men. And, as we know, they sent 3,000 men up, and vayanusu lifnei anshei ha'ai, and they ran away. They ran away, and they were destroyed, vayihi lamayim, and their hearts were water. It is interesting that they didn't ask from the Urim V'Tumim here. We know usually, before Am Yisrael, the Jews went to battle, they asked from the Urim V'Tumim. Should they go out, should they not go out? So why didn't they go out here? So the Rambam says, Beferish, you only ask from the Urim V'Tumim if it's a milchemes rishus. You're not sure whether to go out to war, or not go out to war, you're going to be victorious or not. So the Rambam writes in Ilchas Malachim, then you could ask. But if it's a mitzvah, you can't ask what's going to happen. You have to do the mitzvah. We don't have any cheshbonos when it comes to mitzvahs. Even if the result is not going to be so perfect. If it's a mitzvah, I have to do the mitzvah. Period. Like the story in Brachas Daf Yud, where Chizkiyahu HaMelech didn't want to have a son, because he saw his son was going to be a terrible Oved Avodah Zarah, a king that was going to get all of the Jews to worship Avodah Zarah. So Chizkiyahu says, I don't want to have the kid. And Yeshayahu HaNavi says to him, sorry. You have to do your mitzvah. You have a mitzvah peruvu. Whatever is out of your control, b'adi kashir rachman alamalach. Don't worry about that. So too here. The reason they didn't ask the Urim V'Tumim is that this is a melchemes mitzvah. They're conquering Eretz Yisrael. It's a melchama that they have to do. And when it comes to that, we don't ask any shailus of the Urim V'Tumim. Okay, so that's why they didn't ask. And they come back, and after the war, pasuk vav, vayikra Yehoshua simlosav. Yehoshua tears his garments. He tears his clothing. Right, a sign of Avelus. Vayikra Yehoshua Simlosa. Vayipal upon of Artsa. He falls down. Huvizikne Yisrael Vayalu. Afra Roshem. They put dirt on their heads. Why do they put dirt on their heads? Two different ideas. The Medrash tells us in Brachos Rabbah. The Medrash tells us they wanted to remind themselves of the Schus of Avram Avinu. This week's Parsha. Avram Avinu says, when he's bargaining with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save stone, he says, Va'anochi ofer va'ether. I'm like dirt and I'm like ashes. So they put dirt on their heads to remember the schus of Avraham Avinu. Why do they have to dafka mention Avram Avinu now? So the Musar Nevi'im writes that Yeshua thought that this was part of their problem. After Yericho, they probably thought that they were pretty good. They were probably a little too high on themselves. A little too, I'm awesome, we're great, this is going to be, this is just like the Midbar, they probably thought. I'm adding that in. Right, what do we have in the Midbar? Miracles all the time. Right, no potholes, the clothes growing with us. What's the first thing that happens? They have the Yardin splits, and then the walls of Yericho fall down. This is awesome. And then all of a sudden they're thinking, Yeshua ben Nun realizes, after what happens, no, this is Eretz Yisrael. It's Teva, governed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's natural. And maybe he thought, suggests the Musar Nevi'im, that they were a little too high on themselves, therefore they needed a little humility reminder. And that's why put dirt on top of their heads to remember Avram Avinu, who said, V'yanochi afar va'efer. The Beis HaLevi, we mentioned this in a Parsha Shir a couple of years ago, has a beautiful idea related to afar va'efer, because the Gemara says that bischus, that Avram Avinu said, I am afar va'efer, I am like dirt, and I am like ashes. Bischus that, B'nei Yisrael were zochet to two mitzvot. The Gemara in Chulin says in Daf Peches. The efer, because he says, ashes, I'm like ashes, so B'nei Yisrael were zochet to the ashes of the Paraduma. And bischus, that he says, Afar, I'm like dirt. Bnei Yisrael were zocha to the afar, the dirt that's mixed in with the sota water to give to a sota in order to prove her innocence to her husband. What is the connection, as the Beis Halevi, between sota and paraduma and Avram's declarations of afar ve'efer? Says the Beis Halevi, unbelievably. What's dirt? Dirt has no past. It's just dirt. It's been dirt. But dirt has a future. You could plant something in dirt. You could put seeds into dirt. You could plow dirt and make a beautiful fruit tree. So dirt has no past, but it has a future. Ashes is just the opposite. Ashes has a past. It was something, but it's burned. You can't plant anything in ashes. You could do nothing with ashes. Ashes are just ashes forever. It has a past, but it doesn't have a future. Avram Avinu says, V'anochi afar va'efer, I'm nothing. I have no past, I have no future. I'm not chashev at all. The ultimate in humility, saying I have no past, I have no future. Avraham HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that and says, Avram, I'm going to give you two mitzvos that exactly mirror your declaration. What is it? Efer, para. What is the efer of para duma? Your tame up till now, efer, has a past but has no future. I'm going to give you a future because I'm going to sprinkle these ashes on you and you're going to become tahar. The Afar, the Paraduma, gives a person a future. And what about the Afar? Afar is dirt. It has no past. So Afar Sota. What does Afar Sota do? A woman drinks the water and proves that her past was pure and innocent. And therefore she could stay with her husband. So that is the ultimate declaration of humility. Yeshua ben Nun was reminding Klal Yisrael of that humility at this point because he was nervous that they were a little too high on themselves. There's even a fascinating medrash that is a Yalkut Shimoni relating to the tearing of the clothes to figure out what the message is, but I'll just read the medrash. The medrash says that the Shvatim caused their father, Yaakov, to tear his clothes. Remember, they brought back Yosef's bloodied Ksonis Pasim? And what did he do? Vayikra Yaakov Simlosav. The Shvatim caused Yaakov to tear his clothing. So where were they paid back? In Mitzrayim. What happens when they came to Mitzrayim and Yosef caused Binyamin to have the goblet? So what do the brothers do? They tear their clothes. Because they caused Yaakov to tear his clothes, so they tear their clothes. But Yosef caused them to tear clothes. So what happens then? Lefichach vayikra Yeshua simlosa. That's why Yeshua comes from Yosef. So that's why Yeshua tears his clothes here. And it continues. Menashe garam l'shvatim l'kroa. L'fichach niskaru nachwaso chetzia ba'aretz v'chetzia ba'aretz Yisrael. It continues. And Binyamin is connected. And that's why Mordechai tears his clothes. The Medrash continues. It says there's a cheshbon for everything. There's a cheshbon for everything in terms of these stories in Tanakh. Okay, so they fall on the floor, they put dirt on their head, and Yeshua ben Nun says, Oy, lama patzik zayin, lama he'avarta haver samazez ha'yardin. Hashem, why'd you bring us here? Why did you bring us here? To have us killed? The same exact parallel type of lashon that they said in the Midbar a number of times in Sefer Bamidbar. Why did you bring us here? It would have been better in Mitzrayim. Exactly parallel lashon. But then the last phrase that he says is, Pasik Tes, Umatase l'shimcha gadol. If you let us become defeated here, what about your great name? Meaning, Chilul Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu used the same exact argument by the Meraglim. If you destroy Klal Yisrael, it's going to be terrible, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, da, da, da. And what's the final point? And there's going to be a terrible Chilul Hashem in the world. Because, you know what the nations are going to say? Oh, their God was strong enough to bring him through the Yamsuf, in the Midbar, cross the Yardane, but the 31 kings in Canaan, they are stronger than that God. So what a terrible Chilul Hashem that would have been! And that is where Hashem steps in and says, let me explain what you should do. Vayomar Hashem el Yehoshua, kum lach, get up. Kum lach, you get up. Rashi mentions, what's the emphasis of lach, you? You get up. So some say the problem another reason why they lost an eye was that Yehoshua didn't lead them. Moshe says, Yeshua, you lead them, they're going to win. You didn't lead them. You sent 3,000 men, but it's your job. You have to lead them. So problem number one is that Yeshua didn't go first. That's what Rashi quotes. I told you, you should have gone, number one. Number two, and as we alluded to in the last year, it's your fault, Yehoshua. I never told you to make a law that nobody could take from the cheirim, from the spoils. I never told you that. You did it yourself. Moshe did it? Okay, but that doesn't mean that you should do it. So we mentioned last time that according to many, Hashem must have commanded Yoshua. But according to this idea, there is a chazal that says it was Yoshua's own creation. And Hashem says, I never was interested in having spoils. What's the difference? What's the difference? So the Maharsha and Sanhedrin, we mentioned this last time from Rav Schechter, who says you don't always have the exact same behavior appropriate in every single century and situation. Moshe Rabbeinu said you can't take from the spoils, says the Maharsha and Sanhedrin, but Yeshua shouldn't have. Why? What's the difference between Moshe and Yeshua? Now we have the concept of Kol Yisrael Revim Zelazeh. They didn't have that before. So if somebody would have taken from the spoils earlier, as we'll see, Achan himself took from spoils earlier in the time of Moshe, but the rest of the Jews weren't responsible. So Hashem would have punished Achan eventually. But now, Yeshua, you can't make such a rule. Kol Yisrael Revim Zelazeh. So really, it's your fault, because I never told you to make this rule, which caused the problems in the first place. Now, we spoke about quickly last time from the Be'ikvei Hatzon and Rav Schechter's Hakdama, the difference between a Machadesh and a Meshaneh. So Hashem says to Yeshua, get up! Why are you on your face? And then we have two words. Two words, which is the basis of major halachic discussions. Chata Yisrael! So what does that pashas mean? One of the Jews sinned. One of the Jews sinned, and you know you got to find who sinned. But Chazal darshan on those two words, Sanhedrin daf mem dalet. Chazal darshan that even if a Jew strays, no matter what, he has the status of a Jew. Even if somebody is a Mechal Shabbos, even if somebody has a Jewish mother, he's a Jew. That's what we learn out from these two words. Chata Yisrael, Chazal Darshan, Afa Pisha Chata Yisrael Hu. Even though he sinned, he is still a Yisrael. And the Beis Yosef quotes this, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, in Aruch Hayim, in the Halachas of a Minyan, that Simon Nun Hei, the Beis Yosef quotes the Manhig, Adam Shu Avaryan, Velo Niduhu. If somebody's an Avaryan, let's say somebody's a Mechalel Shabbos, could he count for a Minyan? Have a minion. Let's say it happens in Chutz Laaretz a lot, or even not in Chutz Laaretz. So you're at work, and you have 10 people for a minion, but three of them are totally not from, totally, are you allowed to count them for a minion? The halacha is, says the Beis Yosef, yes. They're chayiv in all mitzvah, count them for a minion. They're Jewish. As long as they believe in God. If they don't believe in God, okay, there's something to talk about, but if they believe in Hashem, they don't do mitzvahs, but still, as long as they're not in cherem, which has other problems, nimne leminyan asara v'chayev b'chol mitzvahs, dichsiv, what's the source for that principle? Dichsiv ba'achan chata Yisrael. Ava bishachata Yisrael hu. Dibikdusha sei koi, v'lo yatsa michlal Yisrael. He didn't lose his Jewish identity. Halachically. And therefore, okay, separate halachas, if he touches wine, other things, but in terms of his Jewishness, so we say, Avopi Shechata Yisrael, who a person still has his Jewish identity, even though he might be a sinner. So that's what Hashem tells Yeshua, Chata Yisrael, go find who it is. So, as we know, Yeshua then has a lottery. First, he lines everybody up with the Urim V'Tumim. The way that Rashi and the Radak say it worked was, the Urim V'Tumim, we know, had all the stones of the Shvatim on them, and the Yehuda's stone got a little weaker than all the other stones. That's how they knew Shevet Yehuda is the one. And that's all the Urim V'Tumim said. And then they did lotteries, okay, which family in Yehuda and which individual, and they got all the way down to Achan. Why didn't Hashem just tell Yeshua who it was? He didn't, made him figure it out himself. Why can't Hashem just say, yeah, it was Achan, go take care of him? No, he says, figure it out. So the Gemara says, Hashem says, I'm not a tattletale. I'm not telling you, it's Lashon Hara. And the Chafetz Chaim says, if there's ever a way to get information across without saying it explicitly, you have to do that. Even if it's important to give the information. It's important, I have to give you this information, right? You don't want any more Jews to die. So he had to have this information. But Hashem knew there was another way. Figure it out yourself. I'm not going to say it. What do you learn from there also? The Mefarshim explained that Lashon Hara is not just about the result. He was going to find out in a minute who did it. But it's the act of speech about someone else in a negative way. Just that act of speech. Even if the guy's going to find out in 10 minutes anyway. The exact thing I'm going to tell him doesn't matter. There's a problem, says the Chafetz Chaim, with saying that. That's the Chafetz Chaim, I'm going to look it up in Shmiras Halashon, Perek Yud, Oz Beis. He says, you learned that from Achan, that Hashem, based on the Gemara. Hashem says, you find out yourself, I'm not interested in telling you. So again, the Urim V'Tumim started off giving the information, and then the rest was found out through a Goro. Good. So Yeshua finally says to him, when it falls on him, Pasuk Yutes, great word. V'yam Yeshua Lachan, Bini. Simna kavod Lashem Elokei Yisrael. What's his first word to Achan when he's about to say, you know, you have to testify, you have to admit, and Yechai Misa, he calls him my son, Bini. Right, an act of, a word of love, of endearment. He you know, I you're great and I love you, but you know, you're chai misa, and you're causing a lot of problems for Klal Yisrael based on your sin. Terrible chil Hashem. V'tein lo todah, please admit. V'agen alib ma'asisa, tachachem imeni, please admit. And Achan does. Achan says, it was me, and he even says in Pasachov, Kazos v'kazos asisi, he admits that he took from Haramim earlier, not just this one, in the times of Moshe he took, he just wasn't punished for those earlier, as we said, because there was no concept of Arvus. What did Yeshua do? Yeshua takes Achan, and the stuff that he stole, and his children. Machlokis in Chazal, why he's taking the children. The Gemara, the Sanhedrin says, he took the children to watch what's going to happen to Achan. So you should learn. You should learn from what's going to happen here that nothing like this should ever happen again. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar has a different idea. Somehow the children were also killed, but the pasha says that he took them. There's no reason for them to have been killed here, and that's what the Gemara says. They were just taken to watch. Yeshua says to him, "Ma'achar tanu yarcha Hashem v'yom hazeh." Hashem should remove your ugliness and give you kapara, which he achieved kapara, and he was chayim misa v'yir gemu, also called Yisrael. They stoned him. Skila. Why stoning? Rashi says, if you remember, they walked around Yericho on Shabbos. So everything subject to the milchama, that's fine, that's docha Shabbos. But when he took it, he carried without an Erev, whatever the malacha was, it was Mechal Shabbos. Mechal Shabbos says Rashi is chayiv skila. The Rambam says, you don't have to worry about how he killed him. This is a rule breaker. Crucial Rambam. The Rambam at the end of Perek Yud Ches of Hilchas Sanhedrin. The Rambam says, normally the rule is we do not believe in self-incrimination in halacha. Somebody comes to court and says, I was Mechal Shabbos, kill me. I ate treif with me. So we don't listen to him. A person cannot self-incriminate. Ein adam esim atzmo rasha. I asked the Rambam on himself, what about Achan? Right, what about the Nara Maleki, who admitted that he killed Shaul? Says the Rambam, Horasha haisa. No, the generation needed that. That wasn't a normal Chiyav Misas Bezdin. So you don't have to come on to what Rashi says. Oh, Skilo, because it was Mechal Shabbos. No, you can use whatever rule you want. Chiyav Misas Bezdin has certain rules, but this is a Rasha, and that's why Yeshua did it in any way that he saw fit. The Minchas Chinuch also notes in Mitzvah Tav Tzadi Zayin, he wasn't a regular Morab B'Malchus. Morab B'Malchus usually is Besayif. That Chiyav Misas Bezdin. But this was something that the Am needed to see. And if the Am needed to see it, you were allowed to do whatever is needed. Just want to end off with a beautiful Radvaz on that Rambam. Radvaz says, why can't you self-incriminate yourself? Why can't I come to Bezdin? It says, I was Mechal Shabbos, kill me. The Radvaz says, because our bodies are not our own. And therefore, we can't say, whip me, kill me, if there are two witnesses that say something. So that creates MS. And therefore, there's a Chiyav Misas, Hashem says, to put the person to death. But when it comes to a person himself, our bodies are not ours. They're on loan. 120 years, Hashem loans us our neshamas and our bodies. And therefore, we have to take care of it, and we have to keep it healthy. And we're not allowed to self-injure ourselves. All because, and that's part of the larger picture of Ein Adam Esam Asmo Rasha. So Yeshua takes care of this in the place of Achor. Achor means the ugliness where it took place, and they did it in Emek Achor, and the pasuk ends off by saying that it's called Emek Achor, Ad Hayom Hazeh. So we learn a lot of Achan. It might have started off with Olam Kimin Hago Noheg Achan, but we end off, we have Alkei Nekaveh out of the story that we learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always in charge of everything. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Let's show next time we will pick up with Perek Ches, what happens after Achan in the coming days.